Acts chapter 16.
All right, I think we're on. All right. I wrote in the preface, and sometimes they'll say, where do you come up with that stuff? That's hard. Can I tell you that little bit of words every Sunday is sometimes difficult to come up with? But the average child asks just under 300 questions per day. But I have five kids. And I know they're there, not by act, like, I understand. We decided to do that, but that's 1,500 questions a day. That's why we have a lock on our bathroom. That's why. That's why. Just need some alone time sometimes. And sometimes questions are good. Sometimes people ask questions just to hear themselves talk. Honestly, they know the answer, and you know, I don't know. People do that. This morning, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 16, the most important question that anybody could ever ask. Acts chapter 16, and we'll start in verse 12. From thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. We sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. God, I'm thankful to be able to say it as well with my soul. Sometimes my flesh is a mess, but Lord, I know that within my soul it's well. Not because of me, but because of you, and I'm thankful for that. God, as we sang previous to that, I do need thee every hour. Whether it's a joyous time or a painful time, Lord, I need you. And this moment is no different than that. Lord, I pray that you'd go before us today, that your presence would be felt here, Lord. That, God, you would speak to us as individuals. That, Lord, as we study this passage out and make some application, that, God, we would either be convicted about our need for a Savior or encouraged that we made that decision. God, help us here. Lord, we want to please and honor and glorify you with all that we say and do. Lord, help us to be attentive. Help us to stay focused and not easily distracted. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Acts chapter 16. Exciting things that are happening in the book of Acts. I love the book of Acts. God does miracle things. And I look at those and I read those stories and I say, God, you could do that with me. And try and put yourself in those circumstances. Here Paul is Paul and Silas, they come into the city of Philippi, and God sends them over there. And they went over there, and the Bible says this, they went over there where prayer was wont to be made. Hey, there was a spot that they felt like they needed to pray. People assembled there to pray. And there was a group of ladies there that prayed. And that's where they went. I feel like God is in a place where people pray, right? Isn't that what he said? Hey, let's make our house a house of what? Of prayer. That's what he desires. In verse 16, as the story continues, as it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed, well, the spirit of divination came, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Here she was part of a collection of people. She used this to make other people rich. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Here, for the first time in a long time, she said something that was true, right? And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of, and he came out the same hour. Say, what's the problem, Paul? She's saying all the, yeah, but she had a, She was known as a soothsayer. If the Catholic Church comes by and says, "We approve Walker Bible Baptist Church," I don't want that. I don't want something that's contrary to the Word of God to give their stamp of approval. This woman is known as one that was mystical and one that was contrary to the things of God. And here she is promoting Paul. And he's like, "Hey, you're not helping us here." And when her master saw that the hope, look at this, the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men being Jews do exceeding trouble in our city." Not true. They just shut down their money-making scheme. Wouldn't that be sad if someone got right and your hope is gone? That's what happened. And the multitude rose up, in verse 21, "and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks." Here, if we can imagine the scenario, Paul and Silas are stripped of their clothes and they're beaten. Beaten, it says, with how many stripes? Many. I've never been beaten in such a way, but I'm thinking physically, they're not in a good way. They're weak, they're banged up, they're not moving too quickly. Yesterday, I got a little paper cut on my finger. Slowed me way down. I'm just that kind. Here, can't imagine, my daughter Sophie was playing or doing something. I think she kicked her bedpost by, you know how you do that. Might have broke her little toe. It's a convenient break. Like, it hurts when it's time to do laundry, but it's good when it's time to play. I'm just saying. I'm not fully convinced. But here, these men, they had just been beaten. And it clearly defines the situation that they're in. And the rulers give them over to this jailer and they say, "Hey, put them away and keep them. We don't want to be losing these guys." So what does he do? He takes them and puts them in the inner prison. And he locks their feet to stocks. These guys were just beaten. They're not running away too quick. But they wanted to make sure. And here they are, Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, what were they doing? They're preaching Christ. What was the response? Beatings and jail. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, look at that word. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Again, I try and put myself in the scenario. But let me ask you this. How would you act? If you were in prison, having just been beaten, here you are in the inner prison, the darkest, the mustiest, the nastiest part of the prison, and you're locked to the ground, what are you going to do? Say, I would be planning my escape. I would be taking mental note of the people that beat me and put me here. I would question, is it really worth it? What would you be asking yourself? Would you be questioning the very existence of God? God, why would you allow? Right? Isn't that what we would do? How do you know that? How do you know that's what we would do? Because we do that for lesser things. I can't imagine for these. Things don't go our way or things don't go right, and we question the very existence of God Himself. But that's not what Paul and Silas did. Paul and Silas prayed. And their prayer led to what? Praise. And they sang praises unto God. I don't know what songs they sang. Victory in Jesus? Oh, I don't know. I don't think it was written then. But what were they singing about? What were they praising God for? Well, God sees that in verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. What a coincidence. What an amazing course of events. Here, we just happen to have Paul and Silas, having just been beaten in the inner prison, locked up, and there they are, at midnight, praying and praising God. And what happens? An earthquake comes by. Shakes the place. Doesn't break it, just opens the doors. There was a man, he was the jailer, he was responsible for keeping them. Wakes up, sleeping on duty, you see that? Must have been a union worker. Anyway, so, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, his response is what? He draws out his sword, and he's got it to his heart. He's about to kill himself. Why? Because that would have been smoother than the problem that he was about to have. Maybe he could make it look like the prisoners killed him on their way out. And his family wouldn't suffer anything, and he wouldn't have to, it would be quick and done, because he was going to die anyways. So there he is, about to kill himself, because he supposed all the prisoners left. And Paul sees this dimly. I don't know how he did it. Little candlelight, whatever it was. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. For we are all here." Verse 25, Paul and Silas sang praises, and the prisoners heard them. Nobody left. Not a single one. And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And he asked the most important question anybody could ever ask. A question that you and I need to ask if we have not already. And brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He asked the question, "How do I get what you got? How do I get Jesus? How can I be saved?" I don't know what the process was for you coming to Christ. Maybe it was uninitiated on your end. Someone knocked at your door. Remember Brother Serino? We heard Brother Serino a few months ago. How did the gospel come to his house? Well, the Pharisees were on a, what did they call it? A Joshua campaign. Remember? They went around their neighborhood for 7 days, 6 straight days, handing out, putting gospel tracts on their block. Well, Nick and Darian Serino lived on their block. And on the 7th day, they knocked on the doors. For the last 6 days, they're getting gospel tracts. Uninitiated. All of a sudden, there's a knock at the door. "Hi, we're the Pharisees. We're your neighbors. Can we tell you about Jesus?" "Are you the ones leaving these?" Yeah. "Yeah, come on in." Maybe it was that. Maybe your life was so broken, and you worked with a Christian, and something happened in your life where your life was just a mess. You compared your life to their life and said, "I need what they got, not because of their car, not because of their house, but because of the peace and love and joy that they had within their soul." Maybe that's what brought you to Christ. Maybe it was you heard preaching on hell and you were scared to death. Maybe you heard about the glories of heaven and said, "Let me in." Whatever it was, somewhere you had asked to be saved. And this Philippian jailer asks Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You know, we were out doing door-to-door visitation yesterday and ran into a man that believes different than what this Bible says. "Well, I think we're all going to go to heaven, and you know, if you do enough good, and God's going to let you in." And my heart breaks when he says that. Because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, here, let's look at some of these verses. Say, are you going to go through the Romans road? Some of it. Romans 3:10. Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Oh, I've done some good things in my life. Helped out people where I could. Took care of my mother-in-law for a while. That's got to be enough to get me in. They had this charity organization at our workplace. I tossed in 20 bucks. I'm good enough to get into heaven, right? No. No, there is none righteous. Here, think about the nicest person that you know. The most moral person that you know. They're not good enough to get into heaven. There is none righteous, no, not one. Why? What's the problem? Because for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. No matter how good you are, you're still not sinless. The problem is our sin. For to be saved, I need to be saved from my sin. Why? What's the problem with sin? We all sin. Correct, we all sin. But there is a problem. Romans 6:23 says this. "For the wages of sin is death." There's a payment. There's a cost to sin. "For the wages of sin is death." Heaven's a perfect place. And for sin to enter in, it would no longer be perfect. God is a holy, righteous God. And He has no fellowship with anything less than perfect. So I need to get rid of my sin. So the question is, how do we get rid of our sin? For the wages of sin is death. It tells us it's a gift. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at Titus 3:5. May I say, the majority of all religions promote a works-based salvation. Here's what you need to do. You need to pay this, or you need to be part of that, or jump through this hoop, or you need to act this way, or do this, or stand here and hold this, or pass that out. You need to give up that. But in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, "Not by works." Sometimes we stop there. "Not by works of righteousness." Even good actions aren't enough to get you into heaven. "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He" what? "Saved us." Sirs, what must I do to be saved? It is simply the mercy of God. By the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You are given life by God Himself. In Galatians chapter 2. Go to Galatians chapter 2. So I just found Titus. I'm sorry. Galatians chapter 2. Look at verse 16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law." If there was a way that you could keep the law. We had dinner last night, and one of the people over the house, they asked about the meal. They said, "Is this clean or unclean?" It's unclean. According to the biblical law, it's unclean and delicious. To which then we quoted Acts, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Right? I'm no longer under the law. Thankful. And fat. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. You understand that it's not the works of the law that makes us as if I've never sinned. But by faith, it says, of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we go back to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man, wasn't it a great day? We were singing about it a bunch this morning. Isn't it a great day, the day we got saved? And you might be sitting here going, I know all this. These things ought to be like the wind passing over coals. This ought to ignite a connection in our heart because it reminds us of where God found us. It reminds us of the path that we were on, trying to work out our own salvation. Can't do it. I want to encourage us. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only way. You can ask Brother DeMeo. We were door-to-door yesterday, and this man told us that it doesn't matter what religion, just as long as you do good. That's not true, is it? The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is but one way of salvation. Say, isn't that arrogant on your part? It's not my part. It's God's plan. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. See, it's not my works that get me there. It's not my works that take away my sin. It's the blood of Christ where I get forgiveness of my sins. And God in His perfect way, see, God forgives differently than you and I forgive. See, you hurt me, I'll say I forgive you, but I don't forget it. God forgives us and He treats us as if we've never offended. The pure definition of forgiveness. God is able to look at us and forgive us of our sins. Say, I'm still a sinner. Yeah, we'll talk about that. But Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Man, I love these verses here. Let's read Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Isn't that good to know? We were talking about it in our Sunday school class. I am thankful He is not particular to any one people group anymore. It's no longer Jew and Gentile. It is all of mankind. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. Go back to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 30. Here the jailer brings them out. Brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. They told them straight. They told them exactly how it was. How many of you like red cap milk? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Whole milk. Happy whole milk. And that's good, and you take that and you can make good coffee with that, and you can make good ice cream, and whatever it is that you need that for, or whatever, good in cereal, it works out good, but it doesn't last forever. It doesn't. It expires. Food expires. This past weekend, I had a few minutes here, and I was actually rummaging through the, it was around lunchtime, and I was hungry. And so I was looking through our fridge right over here. Now, there were some things in there. I'm telling you, they came out different than when they went in. They multiplied in there. They expired. They went bad. As good as they were when you brought them in, they went bad. It was corrupted. Yeah. They grew stuff. They smelled bad. So what'd you do with it? I threw it right out. Where it belongs. As good as it was day one, it went bad. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. When does that expire? When does that go bad? How often? How do I keep that? Because once you have that, you don't ever want to lose it. Once you establish a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't want to do anything that will jeopardize that. So, how do I keep that? How do I not lose my salvation? Well, let's look at what the Bible says. John chapter 10. Can we all agree that salvation is significantly better than red cap milk? John chapter 10 and verse 27. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. That it sounds like a relationship there. And I give unto them, tell me that next word, eternal. Well, how long is that? Forever. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. He's greater than I am. Say, obvious. Yeah, but we think we can do something to lose our salvation. You can't do anything. He's greater than that. Because it's eternal. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. He says when you get saved, He keeps you. For how long? Because I've had things in my hand and you forget or whatever. You know, there you are watching TV and you all of a sudden the remote falls out of your hand, right? Hey, does God ever fall asleep? Does He ever let go of me? Not with the word eternal. There's no expiration date on your salvation. It's eternal. Look at John chapter 5. Look at these great verses. The greatest gift that I've ever gotten, I'll never lose. Because I didn't do anything to earn it. Remember, it has nothing to do with my works. It has all to do with the grace and the mercy of God. John chapter 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath what? Everlasting life. So you mean there's no payment for my sin anymore? Not for eternity. So how is that possible? That's what God said. One chapter away, John chapter 6 and verse 37. Look at these great verses. John 6, 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, look at this, I will in no wise cast out. Hey, we were close, and then I did something, and then he pushed me away. No, that's not what he says. He doesn't push anyone away. Yeah, well, what if I do? I'm sorry. He won't do that. He's greater than that. Romans chapter 8. For I am persuaded, in verse 38. I am persuaded. You know what that means? I'm convinced. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So how long does it last? What's the expiration date on salvation? There isn't one. Once you get saved, you are eternally secure. A lot of people struggle with security. Not like ADT security, but like personal security. People struggle with it. It's a real part of life. You know what I don't ever struggle with? I don't ever wake up in the morning and go, oh, I wonder if I lost my salvation today. I wonder if he still loves me. I wonder if heaven is still my home. Because I blew it yesterday. I had an opportunity to talk about him. I had an opportunity to witness for him. And I didn't take it. I was ashamed. I was quiet about it. I even saw wrongdoing going on. And I did nothing. I didn't read my Bible. I didn't pray. Oh, he's kicked me out. And I will in no wise cast out. Isn't it good to know that no matter what? Say, that means I have license to do whatever I want. All that I know about God, I don't want to do everything I want. For all that he's done for me, no, that compels me. The love of Christ constrains me to do right. And it breaks my heart when I'm unfaithful to him, because he has been nothing but faithful to me. It'd be one thing if he did me wrong somewhere along the way. It would be one thing if he didn't treat me right somewhere along the way. It would be one thing if he left me by the wayside one day. It would be one thing if he in one moment did cast me out for a little while, justifiably. He is a holy, righteous God. But he didn't do any of that. No, he just keeps pulling me closer and closer. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For how long? Eternity. We have the greatest gift given to us that will last forever. On Tuesday, it's my daughter's birthday. She's about to turn 12, and Abby. And my father does a special thing with the kids around their birthday. They do an overnight thing. They go to my dad's house. They spend the night. My dad takes them to wherever they want to go for dinner. Sometimes it's Chick-fil-A. Sometimes it's something different. But they get to pick. And then he takes them to the mall, and he lets, within reason, get them whatever they want. Say, that sounds amazing. Yeah. I never saw that as a kid. I'm just telling you. That was not our... Where's Ron? Ron's probably in the nursery. That is not how we grew up. I mean, they were always generous, but not to that level. And sure enough, my daughter comes home yesterday, and she's got this little... She wanted to build a bear, right? She made a little bear. And she got a new Fitbit. She got this little, something to keep you occupied while you're not doing anything. Say, why are you telling us... It's not going to be long until Build-A-Bear loses a shoe. And it's not going to be long until Fitbit doesn't charge anymore. or lost it, or it just doesn't mean anything. Hey, we'll never get over our salvation.
Yeah.
Every time we talk about these things, I'm renewed in my mind and in my heart just what it is that God has done for me. And it's never going to go bad. It's never going to be out of date. You know, I have an Apple Watch. It's the very first generation. Some of the things don't work out so well. And I tell it to do stuff and it says no. And, you know, sometimes that happens. And we got to update models and you got to do those things. Hey, do you understand that your salvation is nothing like that? It never needs to be updated. It never needs to get better. Hey, we don't need a filling of the Holy Spirit one day. I hope I progress in my salvation to earn eternity. No, it's not like that. I am eternally secure today, tomorrow, and forever. And I never have to worry about it. Not because I'm good, but because He's merciful and gracious unto me. And that's the God I serve and wake up to. And I'm reminded day after day that His mercies are new every morning, not because I deserve it, but because He's good. And I'm eternally secure. Man, that's good. That's a good deal. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Our last point, can we go back to Acts chapter 16? Say, I missed the first two points. They don't have cute names. It's salvation and eternally secure. That's it. Acts chapter 16. Look at verse 31. And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And it says these three words right after that. And thy house. Does that mean the Philippians jailer's salvation was good enough for the whole entire house? It saved the whole house? No. Just like the Philippian jailer, each person in that house had to trust Christ. Your father's salvation, your mother's salvation, your grandmother's salvation is enough to carry you into heaven. But it certainly gives you good opportunity. Verse 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Hey, dad made a decision for Christ. You know what? Kids will follow. All five of my children have made a profession of faith. Hey, they're getting older and I understand there might come a time when they need to maybe rededicate. And I understand that. I'm prepared for that mentally. And I'll help with that any way I can. We're not trying to cause people to doubt their salvation. But if a young person got saved at 5 or 6, wholeheartedly, as best as they could, and they come and say at 13, 14, say, I don't remember doing that. I need some assurance. Okay, we'll go down that road. But all five of my children, why is that possible? Why is that possible? Because their father is going a certain direction. The whole house is saved. And that's a blessing. The opportunity for influence. Dad, mom, use your influence for the cause of Christ. It ought to be abnormal that someone would grow up in the house where Christ has come and made a difference, that they say, I don't want to have any part of that. No, it wasn't but for a moment that the Philippian jailer was saved in and their house. Use your opportunity of influence. Look at Acts chapter 18, last thought. Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And look at this. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. A chief ruler of the synagogues trusts Christ in Corinth. And many Corinthians were saved. Why is that? Because somewhere in there, Crispus was not ashamed of his salvation. Acts chapter 18, verse 8. Crispus was not ashamed of his salvation. His life was dramatically changed by the call of Christ upon him. And he was able to influence others. Look in the same chapter, look at verse 28. We're talking about Apollos. Apollos was kind of going this way, and he was teaching the ways of John the Baptist, and all of a sudden, people wanted to come show him a more perfect way. Isn't that right? And how does it go? In verse 28, and he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And I'm just going to ask you this morning. You got in. You're eternally secure. Are you satisfied with that? Is that, okay, I'm in, and I don't care about, hey, we're seeing multiple people from Acts chapter 16 to Acts chapter 18 who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and whoever was around them believed also. Why was that? Because the dramatic change that Christ made in their life. Because they were unashamed of it. Within their houses, within their influences. Salvation brings an opportunity for influence. The question is, are we going to use it? Crispus. Say, I'm in charge at work. Hey, use that. Say, would that be manipulating people? I don't know, but Crispus allowed other people to see Jesus Christ in him. Apollos took what he learned and he convinced other people. Who are you convincing? Who are you sharing? Say, you don't know, my workplace is somewhat hostile. They don't like Christians there. You think they like Christians in the synagogue? No. No, they did not like them there. But that's where he influenced. He influenced right where he was. If we were to ask your coworkers, hey, tell me about this person. Oh, man. They are a Bible thumper. Hey, if they decide to not choose and follow Christ, that's their own decision. It's not the right one. But they ought to know. They ought to know. They at least ought to have heard somewhere along the way. They at least ought to have experienced what it looks like to see a Christian. Why? Because life doesn't roll sweetly. And if they've worked around you or been around you in school or anything, and they've seen a heartache come in your life and how you handled that, or maybe you were done wrong and they saw how you handled that, did that bring them to Christ? The prison gates just blew open. And they didn't leave. Paul and Silas didn't leave. And the jailer's response is, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Because what you have is for real. Is your salvation for real? Do the circumstances that your life goes through a testimony that Jesus Christ is real? That's on us. Yes, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I know without a shadow of a doubt, if I were to die today, I'd spend eternity in heaven. But we ought not to be satisfied with just me. And my house, and mightily those that were around me, an opportunity for influence. Let's all stand. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, I'll be real honest. From what I study in Scriptures, I don't know why you wouldn't. We sang that song, I've Never Been Sorry. 2 years ago, I bought a Dodge Ram 1500. Today, I'm a little sorry I did that. I've never been sorry I trusted Jesus Christ. And that's never going to get old. If you're here this morning and you don't know for sure, say, I've been coming here a long time. If you don't know for sure, say, what will people think? They will rejoice to know that you know for sure. Again, I'm not trying to get someone to make a profession or something. I'm just saying, don't let pride, don't let what others may think, jeopardize eternity. Praise the Lord, we are eternally secure. But lastly, I'm going to ask the question, what are you doing with that opportunity? Maybe there's someone in your house you need to come pray for. Maybe you need to come pray for courage. Maybe you need to come pray for that work, that guy at work that's such a belligerent man towards Christ, towards you. Maybe he just needs to see a better example of what a Christian is. Maybe the problem isn't him. Maybe it's us. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless this time of invitation now. And as the music will play in but a moment, Lord, if there's someone here today that is not saved, Lord, I pray that today would be the day. If there's someone that's struggling with being secure in you, Lord, I pray that they get that thing settled today. Lord, if there's someone today here that has not been the witness that you desire, has not been an example of what we ought to be as Christians, Lord, help us. Help us with these things. Help us to not be ashamed of the gospel. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning? Amen.